The nations prove the glories of His righteousness
and wonders of His love
and wonders of His love
and wonders of His love. All the wonders of His love. King is here, our Lord is come. Sing with me unto the sun. Our King is here, our Lord is come. Sing with me unto the sun. Sing it out.
Our King is here, our Lord is come. Sing with me unto the sun.
Our King is here, the Lord is come.
Sing with me unto the sun.
Our King is here, our Lord is come.
Sing with me unto the sun.
Our King is here, our Lord is come.
Sing with me unto the sun.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come.
Our Advent reading is Luke chapter 1, verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her.
Oh, come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Of angels, sing in exaltation, sing all ye
citizens of heaven above. Glory to God, all glory in the highest. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him, Christ the Lord.
Yea, Lord.
Yea, Lord, we greet Thee, born this happy morning, Jesus, to Thee be all glory give. Now in flesh appearing, oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him, Christ the
We'll praise, we'll praise
Your name forever. We'll praise Your name forever. We'll praise Your name forever, Christ the Lord.
Let's praise Him. We'll praise
Your name.
Let's just continue to give Him glory for all that He has done.
Should nothing of our efforts stand, no legacy survive, unless the Lord does raise the house. In vain its builders strive. To you who boast tomorrow's gain, tell me, what is your life? A mist that vanishes at dawn, all glory be to Christ.
All glory be to
Christ our King. All glory be to Christ. His rule and reign will ever sing. All glory be to Christ.
His will be done.
His will be done. His kingdom come on earth as is above. Who is Himself our daily bread? Praise Him, the Lord of love. And living water satisfy see without price. We'll take a cup of kindness here. All glory be to Christ. All glory be to Christ our King. All glory.
Christ.
When on the day,
when on the day, the great I am, the faithful and the true, the Lamb who was for sinners slain is making all things new. Behold, our God shall live with us and be our steadfast light, and we shall learn His people be. All glory be to Christ.
All glory be to
Christ our King. All glory be to Christ. His rule and reign will ever sing. All glory be to Christ.
Let's just lift that up. If you could just close your eyes this morning, and let's give Him glory for coming down to this earth and dying to forgive us of our sins. Let's give Him glory this morning as a church.
So glory be to Christ our King. Oh, glory be to Christ. His rule and reign will ever sing. Oh, glory be to Christ.
Let's worship Him.
Amen, amen. You guys can be seated. If you have a Bible, I would invite you to turn to Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11 is where we'll be. It is wonderful to see you all this morning, looking glorious. And it is a joy to get to celebrate our Savior this Advent season with you all. And so, thanks for being here. If it's your first time with us, we are super glad that you would join us during this season. And if it's your 50th time, welcome, welcome, welcome. Just want to call your attention briefly to our Digital Connect card. It's on our homepage of our website. You can go there and just fill it out. Your name and email is more than sufficient for us, particularly if it's your first time, to follow up with you in a respectful way. But then for those of you that have been here for a while, you can use that card to get connected, to maybe offer prayer requests, ask questions, things, just another way for you to communicate with us. So utilize that card on the website. We would love it if you would. Before I jump into God's Word this morning, as we do often, just want to holler at the kids. It is wonderful, wonderful, wonderful to see all the kiddos in here. Now, we love children, and we love getting to see all the kiddos from little babies to 18, all in here with us together. And so, if you're ready to jump in God's Word with me, if you're with me and you're ready to jump in, kids and adults and aunts and uncles and everybody here, I need to hear you say, "The King is born." All right, on three. One, two, three. That was pretty good, pretty good. Isaiah chapter 11, I'll read verses 1 through 10. "There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion and the fattened calf together. And a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse, who shall stand as a signal for all peoples, of him shall the nations inquire, and his resting place shall be glorious. This is God's good word to us. Let's pray together. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you that you have given it to us as a gift. I pray this morning that you would help me proclaim your word faithfully to your people in this place. Jesus, thank you that you were the shoot that came from the stump of Jesse, and that you have borne much fruit. And that today, in your word, we see a glimpse of that. I pray that as we do, we would be convinced again, or maybe for the first time, that you are the only one worthy of putting our trust and our hope and our faith in. And that in you alone, we are offered the true good life and a glorious future that is guaranteed by your work. And so, Lord, I pray, as we always and often do, that you would do your work and your way in this place. Use this time now for your glorious purposes. Holy Spirit, reign supreme. Guard me and use me for your glory. It's in your beautiful name we pray, Christ. Amen. So in my yard, I think perhaps I've talked about this before, but in my backyard, we've got several trees. But when we first moved in, we bought the house out of foreclosure. God was really kind to us, gave us a great deal. Can't afford a house these days unless you're like a millionaire, but we got our house and it was like a jungle in our backyard, and we had a couple of crepe myrtles. I don't know why everybody around here loves a crepe myrtle. It's like a huge favorite, but I can't stand those jokers. Anybody raise your hand if you like crepe myrtles. Man, you know what? All right, so I'm a little bit of a liar now because only two of you like crepe myrtles, or you're just not brave enough to raise your hand. Who hates crepe myrtles? Okay, that's good. That's great. So, all right. So, nonetheless, this crepe myrtle, one of the reasons I don't love them is because we went to chop them all down, and we chopped this one down, and that joker, you couldn't kill it. It just kept shooting up everywhere, all over the place, out of different places throughout the yard. There's one bit of a crepe myrtle remnant in my front yard still. And every season, like 10 years ago, we cut this joker down. And every year, there's like this strip of crepe myrtle seeds that just bloom up trying to take over my yard. And I don't care that much about my yard to do anything about it. But this crepe myrtle is resilient, right? And there's just one crepe myrtle in my backyard where we cut it down all the way, sliced it down to where it's level with the ground. And if I don't maintain it, there's shoots that come up out of it over and over again. Throughout the years, this has happened again and again. And here's what we see in Isaiah chapter 11. We see this picture, this root that is going to shoot up out of this stump of Jesse. And we ultimately know that this picture is pointing us to Jesus. But there's this picture just before Isaiah 11 and Isaiah 10 of the Lord kind of chopping the forest down and doing his work. And last week we looked at Isaiah 9 and we saw that in Isaiah 9 this king is promised. That this faithful king is promised, and then he actually shows up. And what we saw last week was that throughout Isaiah, what we see is, and we talked about kind of how Isaiah's prophecy, it's not like Nostradamus, whatever his name is, where you're like predicting actual events in the future with specificity. I don't know if I said that right. Hey, y'all, I got my Grimke sweater on today. because I'm a master of the universe, but I still can't talk, all right? But it's not like you're looking specifically out at events and going, hey, here's exactly what's going to happen at this time and this day. What we see is more of a Isaiah looking back on the promises of God that are yet to be fulfilled, and then pointing ahead to a glorious hope and a glorious future that he knows is going to be fulfilled because it hasn't happened yet. And so he's looking back with great anticipation, knowing that, hey, this promised Messiah, this promised snake crusher, this promised king that all has been prophesied throughout the Old Testament, he hasn't shown up yet. And Isaiah here is pointing ahead to a day when this glorious promised king would come. And we talked last week about how the whole Old Testament is pointing us ahead toward this. And really, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, the book of Kings and Chronicles, that ultimately you look through those books. And what we see is something of almost a competition for who could be the worst king. That over and over again, it's like, oh, this guy's not the promised king. This guy's not the promised king. All these jokers are horrific. And so Isaiah is saying to, and there's all kind of turmoil and all kind of craziness that comes out of the disobedience of God's people throughout the Old Testament. And here they are in exile, and Isaiah's writing to the people, and he's saying to them, hey, if you don't obey, it's going to go bad for you. And they don't obey, and things go bad for them. But then there's always this glimmer of hope, where Isaiah holds out for them and says, hey, there's a glorious king that's going to come. And we saw in Isaiah 9 last week that out of the darkness has shone this glorious, beautiful, great light, King Jesus. He's shone into the world. And we looked at that last week. And here we kind of fast forward in Isaiah chapter 11. We see this another beautiful picture of this glorious king. The forest has been chopped down because there's this kind of series. If you look at Isaiah, basically what happens is it kind of happens in four parts repeated. But the prophet will give the people a warning. Say, hey, if you don't do this, you got a decision to make here. You're going to obey God or disobey God. And then they disobey God. And the second part is that God's judgment comes through their disobedience. And that's what happens. And then what we see is a remnant. The third part of kind of the cycle in Isaiah is that this remnant is preserved. That even though there's rebellion and disobedience, God always preserves a remnant. And then this fourth part is that, hey, for the remnant, the people of God, there's going to be this glorious Redeemer who will rescue you one day and make all things glorious again. And this, when we come to Isaiah chapter 11 verse 1, is the glorious promise that's going to come from the tree of Jesse. There shall come forth a shoot, God's word says, from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from its roots shall bear fruit. Here's the picture we need to see. The forest has been leveled. The trees have been cut down. God's people have been unbelievably disobedient. But God says, I'm going to build a new forest. I'm going to build a new, more glorious forest than you could ever imagine. And I'm going to do it through this Savior, this King, this coming Messiah, who will shoot up with greater resilience than a crepe myrtle out of the ground to take over and build a glorious future for my people. This is the picture. And so the promise is the shoot is coming, and he's going to bear much fruit. And then really for the rest of the chapter, we see a picture of the fruit that comes from this tree, from this Jesse tree, if you will. This Jesus comes on the scene, and we see this picture of fruit that comes from him. And so we'll look at it in three parts. First, we'll see that the king showcases the good life for us. He shows us what the good life is about. This is the fruit that comes. Hey, here's the good life. And then we'll see that the king showcases for us this picture of a glorious future. And then finally, we'll see that the king signals the only way to this good life and this glorious future is through this king Jesus. So first, let's look at the king showcasing the good life for us. My aim today as we look at this is that we would all be reminded or come away for the first time knowing and seeing that the only way to enjoy the good life and a glorious future is through King Jesus. That we'd be convinced of that. And in particular, we talked about this last week, so I don't want to hammer it home too much, but in particular during this season of Advent, where all of us are again and again coming with eager hope and eager expectation for maybe what will unwrap or a season of life or some kind of satisfaction or fulfillment. We're looking forward to something, all of us, during this season. What we can certainly hope in is our King Jesus, who offers us the satisfaction and hope that really is being exposed in all of our hearts during this season. That we're all looking, we're all longing, we're all wanting this better, glorious future, this hope, this satisfaction, this something to bring us the greatest joy. And what we see in Christ Jesus is that He and He alone can bring us what we're looking for. And He shows us that first through His life. So last week we saw that the King was born as promised. This week we see that the King lives. He was born to live a perfect life. The King showcases the good life for us. Look with me in verses 2, 3, 4, and 5 again. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. This is the shoot that comes up. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. And the Spirit of wisdom and understanding. The Spirit of counsel and might. The Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide disputes by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. The King here is showcasing the good life for us. Here's what I mean by that. It's like this picture of what you want in this life, what you want in this world, and really what we all need is this perfect life. That Jesus is the perfect man. That He is the satisfactory Lamb of God who gets to go be slain for the sins of the world. We'll look at that next week in Isaiah 53. But that what Jesus is a picture of the good life. See, He is full of the Spirit. He's full of wisdom and understanding. He's full of counsel and might. That there's nothing that He doesn't know. There's nothing that He doesn't understand. There's nothing that He can't resolve. That He's mighty to overcome all things. The Spirit of the knowledge and the fear of the Lord. He knows His Father intimately. He walks with Him intimately. We'll come back to verse 3a. He doesn't judge. He's not fickle in any way. He doesn't judge by what He sees or hears in the moment. He's not changed by the tides of culture or the winds of things that come our way. He is steady and steadfast and immovable. We know this about our God. He is indeed immutable, unchanging. This is what Isaiah is hinting at here. This picture of righteousness and faithfulness, goodness and perfection. That He stands ready. That's what's going on in verse 5. He's got this belt of readiness. This readiness to do righteousness and faithfulness again and again and again. But the key to the good life is found in verse 3. The anchor to this passage here. And His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord. His satisfaction, some other versions might read. His satisfaction is in the fear of the Lord. Here's the big idea. Jesus is fully satisfied in His Father. That He's not looking elsewhere, but He's completely, totally satisfied by His Father in the fear of the Lord. This idea of satisfaction or delight. It's the same word in the Hebrew that's used in Genesis chapter 8 when Noah offers the sacrifice to God, and God is pleased. It's a pleasing aroma. He's satisfied with the offering. That's the idea here. And so Jesus is completely, fully satisfied in all his good God has for him. His God and Father has for him. And for you and I, this is the key to the good life, that we would find complete and utter total satisfaction in King Jesus. And it says here, the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. And you might be asking, at least I was asking a lot this week, okay, what does it mean to be satisfied in the fear of the Lord? What does that look like? How does that play out? How can we be satisfied there in the fear of the Lord? Psalm 130 gives us a picture or some help here. Psalm 130, 1 through 4 says this. The psalmist writes, this is a psalm of ascent, and so he's writing on behalf of all of God's people. It says, out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my pleas for mercy. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, that you may be feared. So the idea here is this. In Psalm 130, the idea is that our iniquities are so great we can't even stand before God. But as we cry out for mercy, as we plead to the Lord for mercy, He gives forgiveness, and that forgiveness leads to a fear of the Lord. And so what we see is that when we understand God for who He is in His holiness and His majesty, in all of His glorious might, and we see our iniquities before this holy God, when we see how helpless we are, how desperately needy we are, how completely rebellious we've been to this God, and then we cry out to Him, and He gives us forgiveness and mercy, it leads to a healthy, beautiful fear of our God. And this is what Isaiah is talking about when he says, Jesus, this shoot of Jesse, is satisfied in the fear of God. Friends, if we are to be satisfied in this life, fully and completely and totally, it will only come through realizing that our iniquities are too great to stand before God. But His mercy is greater still when He grants us forgiveness, so that we might stand in fear, in awe, and wonder of how a gloriously good God could forgive people of such great iniquity. This is the key to satisfaction in life. It's like on Christmas morning. It's better than Christmas morning, at least in our home. We have a few traditions. One of them is that we wake up on Christmas morning, and usually we have sausage balls. Raise your hand if you like sausage balls. If you've never had a sausage ball, you're like, what are you talking about, homie? All right, cool. Maybe you're vegetarian. I don't know. But nonetheless, we have sausage balls, and we have sweet potato pancakes. They're delicious. They're glorious, all right? Sausage balls, sweet potato pancakes. And we like get up and we read Luke 2 usually, and we pray and we talk about the glorious reason why we celebrate this day. And then we all come downstairs to the aroma of pancakes and sausage balls, and we unwrap the gifts, and we play, and we enjoy each other, and we eat the sausage balls, and we eat the pancakes. They're absolutely amazing. And then we sit. I got five little kids. We don't sit a whole lot. But like for a moment, all right, we sit. And we just enjoy what we've just done. We're satisfied. There's a glimpse of complete satisfaction. Our bellies are filled. Our hearts are warm. The house is full of craziness. And there's satisfaction there that points us to a greater satisfaction that we're looking for in Christ Jesus. These glimpses that we're longing for ultimately don't satisfy us, but they point us to the greater satisfaction in Jesus. And this is what we see King Jesus showcasing for us here in Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 through 5. Satisfaction in this life is only found as we look to King Jesus to do it for us. Secondly, we see the King showcases a glorious future for us. It's a glorious future. Verses 6 through 9 show us this beautiful picture of what is to come. See, this is the fruit of Jesse's tree. And if you've read Isaiah, you know anything about the Old Testament, you know that the fruit of God's people and the fruit of what we produce is horrific. It's death, it's decay, it's rebellion, it's all kinds of hurt and pain and disease and grossness. And what Isaiah is saying to God's people and to us today is that the King showcases this glorious future for all of us to look forward to with great anticipation. This is what's coming from this tree. Verse 6, the wolf shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion and the fattened calf together. And a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. The young shall lie down together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra. Can you imagine? Like, I've had lots of nursing babies in my world. The Lord is recreating this world to show us what it will be like. The weaned child shall put his hand over the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain. There will be no hurt. There will be no destruction. There will be no more pain. There will be no more predators hunting prey. It will no longer exist. There will be no more death. No more disease. For all the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. You see, the beauty here that's being showcased for us is this glorious hope of a future where death is no more, where destruction is no more, where decay is no more, where we are all satisfied in our good God, and where the lions run with the lambs. And the children's play with the cobras. And we enjoy life as it's intended to be enjoyed. See, we're satisfied as we look to Jesus and we hope in Him. And then we see this glorious picture of what is to come. See, this is what we're all longing for here. This is what we're all looking for. This is what we're all wanting for in so many ways. Now, we fight over the best ways to get it in our culture and in our world, right? That's what so much of the division about is in our world. What's the best way to this glorious utopian future that we all kind of want? And this is what we fight over. And wars are fought over this. And politics are divided over this. And people are divided over all of this. But what's true is that we're all wanting it. We're all wanting a glorious future. We all want something better than what we have. Some of us think we got to look backwards. Some of us think we got to look forward. Some of us think we just got to kind of stick to it. But we're all wanting this glorious picture. And what we see here in Isaiah, several hundred years before Jesus even was born, is this glorious picture that is showcasing the beauty of what is to come. See, when I proposed to Jordan, a few of you probably know the story. When I proposed to Jordan, I was a bit of a moron for before I proposed to Jordan. I'm still a bit of a moron, just hopefully not quite as bad. But our dear friends, the Laneys, are here on the front row, and I did not plan this, but it just worked out that they're here. But they were like a part of our season during that time. And Jordan was single, and I was single, and I the bottom line is I, like, broke her heart, and I broke up with her. We were, like, dating, and I broke up with her, and it wasn't great, and I hurt her in a lot of different ways. And so we had, like, these places we had been that were hurtful, and these things that we had done that were hurtful because I broke her heart, and it wasn't good. And so when the night I decided to propose, my buddy Chris took me to lunch one day. I was like, hey, man, like, you got to stop being a turd. You either love Jordan or not, but you can't keep doing that, which is really, really great. Thank you, Chris. Well, he didn't call me a turd, but he was much more nicer than me. But nonetheless, I would have called myself a turd. But what happened is that the Lord said, hey, man, you need to marry this girl. She's amazing. So I decided to propose. And what happened was, I'm not trying to give myself a pat on the back because I already told you I was not kind. But what I did was try to take her on a tour that evening of all the places that were hurtful and all the places that I had caused her pain. To say like, hey, here's a picture by God's grace. I know there's been hurt, there's been pain, there's been kind of destruction here. But here's a picture of redeeming grace and hopefully of what a glorious future will look like if you say yes to me. This is what it'll be like. This glorious future is to come. I promise. There won't be any more hurt and pain. Here's what is to come. And by God's grace, almost 12 years later, we've had a glorious, glorious, I see you, baby, glorious time together. It's been amazing. And see, here is what Isaiah is painting this picture for us. There's brokenness, there's hurt, there's pain, there's struggle, there's strife. Because even this picture here isn't yet realized. But what Isaiah is holding out for us is this glorious future that is ours in Christ Jesus. And we know it's certain because he came once and he said he's coming again. And so we hope here in our King who offers us, who showcases us this glorious future, which leads me to my last point and the shortest one. It says the King signals the only way to the good life and a glorious future. This is in verse 10. In that day, the root of Jesse, who shall stand as a signal for the peoples, of him shall the nations inquire, and his resting place shall be glorious. And this is the future glory. This is the root of Jesse signaling for all the peoples of the world. Here is the way to this good life. Here is the way to this glorious future. Here is the sign that you got to turn this way. It's the signal. He is our guarantee, if you will. Like last week, I talked about this but got to go to the SEC championship game. I got to go, and my sister and I got to get in because in my Apple wallet, my phone's not on me, but in my Apple wallet on my phone was a ticket that said entrance into the game, right? Like, I wasn't rolling up on Mercedes-Benz Stadium wondering, hey, I wonder if I'm going to get in. Wonder if I'm going to make it. Wonder if we might, maybe they'll let us in by what we do. No, it's like, the ticket is there. It's in my wallet. We're getting in the game. And so we're enjoying all the festivities and all the things leading up to it, knowing that the glorious inheritance is ours in the game, even though the Bulldogs lost, because we have a ticket. You see, it's like, because I know a lot of you don't like the Bulldogs or football in general. It's like, what are those things called? Timeshares or like vacations, you know? When you ever sat through a timeshare presentation? Raise your hand if you sat through a timeshare presentation. Okay, a few of you, good. Well, what happens, for those of you that don't know, there's these people that are trying to sell you on these timeshares or vacations. I'm probably not going to get it all right, but essentially what they're really good salesmen, and what they do is they say, here's this beautiful picture of all the things that could be yours for a low, low price of $25,000, whatever it is, all right? But they show you this glorious picture. Here's what you're going to get. Here's what the resort has, and here's the stuff, and here's the food, and you're going to love it. You're going to love it. But it's like getting that beautiful, glorious picture of the wonderful resort. And then at the end of the presentation, the guy's saying, hey, it's actually been paid for. It's yours. You get to have this forever. No one can take it away. And this here is what we see in verse 10. The signal, the way in, And so when Jesus rolls up on the scene and says, I am the way, the truth, the life, no man comes to the Father but by me. He is signaling, he is showing us, he is the only way into the kingdom. He's the only way into the good life. He is the glorious signal that's pointing the way. And we'll hammer this home next week in Isaiah 53 when we look at it. But he does this through living this perfect life described in verses 1 through 5. And then ultimately dying a death in our place for our sins on a cross, where he hangs and dies, is put in a borrowed tomb, and then 3 days later rises up out of that tomb victorious over death, hell, and the grave. This is how he pays for what we owe. This is what he does. And then he comes and he offers it and says, this is yours if you'll trust me, if you'll look to me, if you'll hope in me. This is the signal coming from the fruit of the root of Jesse's tree. Jesus signals the only way to the good life and a glorious future. And can I add this here? Because you know our name is Sent Church. And what we get to do here as those who have received this beautiful, glorious gift from Jesus, as we now get to signal to the world, hey, y'all, there's a way for you to have the most glorious future in the world. And it's by trusting in Jesus. And we're sent now to proclaim this good, glorious news that the good life you're looking for, the things that you're longing for, the glorious hope that you really, really want, it's only found in King Jesus. Look to him. And now we signal to the world, look to Jesus. In fact, Paul did this for us already in Romans 15. He quotes this passage, Romans 15, 12, as a basis for him getting the gospel to the Gentiles. He's so jazzed about this that he sees we've got to get this good news to all the world. And in fact, if you read the rest of Isaiah 11, that's some of what's happening there. As Isaiah's unpacking that God will gather a people from the ends of the earth for himself to enjoy the glorious inheritance that he has secured. And so I've got one question for us this morning, and that's this. Where are you looking to find the good life and a glorious future? Where are you looking today in your world, in your life, in this Advent season? Where are you looking to find the good life and a glorious future? What are you looking toward? What are you looking in? What are you hoping in? I've mentioned it already briefly before, but Advent season always exposes so much in us. It exposes so much in us of our longings, of our desires, of our wants to be satisfied in relationships or gifts or stuff. Of our we hang trees and ornaments. Some of us look back to a life that we once had. We hang on to traditions because we hope that that will lead to a glorious future and inheritance. We look back thinking, I wish things could just be easier, more simple, hoping that the future might could look like that. We're reminded through all of this that what we're looking for and longing for won't be found in a present. It won't be found in a tradition. It won't be found in a relationship with another human being. It will only be found as we place our hope and our trust in the one sure Savior who was promised about in Isaiah, who was the shoot that came from the root of Jesse's tree, who lived a perfect life, who promises a glorious future that we all long for, and then ultimately went and died to signal to us, hey, here's what you're looking for. Here's what you're longing for. Trust in me. Receive my mercy for all of your iniquities and find true fear of God there and be satisfied. Be completely satisfied through trusting and me. And so wherever you're looking, wherever you're longing, whatever you're hoping for this season, you will never find it outside of Jesus. And we, as those who have found the gift of Jesus, get to say to the world, Jesus is enough. We point the world to this signal with our lives and with our lips. Let's pray together. God, we are desperate and needy folks for you. Thank you, Jesus, that you came. Thank you that you are coming again. Thank you that you've shown us what the good life is, what it is to be about. Thank you that you are perfect and righteous and faithful in all your ways. That because you are so perfect, you were able to be the satisfactory sacrifice to die in our place for our sin. And then, Lord, you rose again, declaring victory over death and securing for us the glorious future you describe here in Isaiah chapter 11. God, may we be a people who look to you, who hope in you, who find joy in you for the good life here and for the glorious future that we're all longing for. May we enjoy it now through you and in the days to come. Make us a people who are faithful to point others to you. And Lord, would you allow us to see tons more fruit come from your work? Would you allow us to see more and more and more people coming to know and understand what the good life is all about? More and more people to join us in this glorious inheritance that's been provided for us. Would you do that in our midst? We want to see you move. We want to see the wind blow. We want to see an awakening. We want to see a revival. We want to see people turning to you and not to stuff. We want to see our kids and our grandkids and our nieces and nephews and all of the future people in our lives. We want to see them on fire for you. Would you do it, Lord, for your glory? So that we might together enjoy this glorious inheritance you've promised for us. Where the lion plays with the lamb and the babies play with the cobras. God, we need you. Remind us again of that this morning. If anyone in here today has not yet trusted in you, would you make today the day of salvation? Do it for your glory and our great joy. It's in your beautiful name we pray, Christ. Amen. So now we want to come to a time where we respond to the Lord in a few particular ways. The first way we're going to respond is by coming to the table this morning. And so if you're a follower of Jesus, if you've trusted Christ with your life, if you know that He is the way to the good life and the glorious inheritance, I would encourage you in just a moment to come and grab the bread and the cup and take it back to your seat, okay? We'll stand together, we'll sing, and Pastor Alex will come lead us through communion together. So when you're ready, in just a moment, come and grab, again, bread, cup, take it back to your seat. Additionally, I would ask parents, we're going to wait till after we're done with communion and responding to Christ through song to go and grab our kids this morning. So just hang tight and we'll grab them at the end. And then lastly, as you're taking, before you come take communion, take a moment. Let your heart be still before the Lord. Just let your heart be still. And before you come and grab the bread and the juice or the wine, remember the one who offers us the good life. Remember what we're taking this morning together and meditate on the glorious future that is ours in Christ. Let's respond however we need to. I'll be standing in the back at some point. If any of you need to pray or talk more about what it means to follow Jesus, I'd love to hear from you. Let's continue to worship Jesus now.
Silent night, holy night. tender and mild. Sleeping heavenly peace. Sleeping heavenly peace.
Silent night.
Child is born. To us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness. From that time on and forever, if we could sing Silent Night. Silent night, holy night, shepherds. Shepherds quake at the sight. Glory stream from heaven above. Heavenly hosts sing hallelujah. Christ our Savior is born. Christ our Savior is born.
All right. If you guys take a moment for communion, if you are a follower of Christ in this room, and you guys would take the bread. In First Corinthians, Paul teaches us and reminds us of the Lord's Supper, and he took the bread in verses 23 of chapter 11. The Lord, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread when he had given thanks. He broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Please take the bread and eat. Lord, we thank you that in your body you took everything that we deserved. And it is through the brokenness of your body on the cross that we celebrate this Advent. We celebrate the coming of the King. Thank you, Lord. And then he took the cup, and he continues in 1 Corinthians. In the same way also he took this cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Please take the cup and drink. Lord, we thank you that we remember the blood of the new covenant, that it was through your blood that we have an eternal life and a joy in this glorious inheritance. Lord, let us look at that with awe and with expectation. We love you and are grateful for what you have done for us through your body and through the blood. In your name. Amen.
Hope has a name, Emmanuel, the light of the world, who rode through the darkness.
All hail the King, Emmanuel, the light of the world, the glory of heaven.
Breaking through the silence. We're breaking through the silence with glory in the highest. The hope of all creation resting in his mother's arms. A song on the horizon, ringing through the heavens. The long-awaited Savior come to set the captives free. Come to set the captives free. Come set us free.
Hope has a name, Emmanuel, the light of the world, who broke through the darkness. All hail the King, Emmanuel, the light of the world, the glory.
We didn't see it coming. The story of redemption was started in a manger, ended in an empty grave. All I know is a hope has a name,
Emmanuel, the light of the world, who broke through the darkness. All hail the King, Emmanuel, the light of the world, the glory of heaven.
Come if you're broken, come if you're searching, come if you need healing, here's where you find it. Lay down your burdens, breathe in forgiveness. If you need freedom, yeah, he's where you find it. Oh, if you need freedom, yeah, he's where you find it. Yeah, he's where you find it. Oh, and hope has a name,
Emmanuel,
the light of the
dark,
who rose through the darkness.
All hail the King, Emmanuel, the light of the world, the glory of heaven. Hope has a name, Emmanuel, the light of the world, who broke through the darkness. All hail the King, Emmanuel, the light of the world, the glory of heaven.
Church, it has been wonderful to stop, remember what God has accomplished for us through the work of his long-awaited son. And now we wait for his return. We wait and rejoice. We wait patiently with great rejoicing. So, church, I have a few quick announcements for us this morning. The first is this. If you're visiting with us, thank you. Thank you for coming. Thank you for taking time out of your week to come and hear what we hold fast to, hear the Word of God. If you have any questions about our church, any prayer requests that our prayer team can pray over, we would love for you to go to the front page of our website, sentcharlotte.org, and fill out a digital connect card. Let us know that you came, and any prayer requests or questions that you have, you can go there. Also, for those who have been visiting for a little while, on January the 16th, a few Sundays, maybe a month from now, we're going to have our Sent 101 class. That is a time where the elders communicate to anyone who would like to know what our church is about, how, who, what, why, all those things. And so if you'd like to be a part of that, we would love for you to. You can talk to me after we're finished here today, and I can get you more information about that. Child care is provided for those things. Two things. One is last week we had our Angel Tree, which was a way that our church partners with Justice Ministries to bless kids that are often overlooked and neglected and their mothers. And so this is a ministry that we have loved and supported as a church for a long time. And around Christmas, we all try to do that. So a lot of you took an ornament that represented a gift for a child. So I just want to remind all of us that next Sunday is the Sunday that we would need those presents. Unwrapped, brought here with wrapping paper. Thank you, Josh. So again, we'll ask, don't wrap the presents, but bring what is necessary for the wrapping of the presents. Okay? Thank you, thank you, thank you. Also, I heard the other day that there are still needs, financial needs for purchasing of presents, and there's still children that need help. And so if the Lord is moving your heart to help more kids or more mothers during this season, come see me, and I can get you routed in the right direction. There's a lot of needs, and maybe the Lord is leading you to help meet those. The last thing is this, well, almost the last thing. We have on Christmas Eve, we are going to have a Sent Church Christmas Eve gathering. And so it's not going to be here in the gym. It's going to be at the East something campus of Steel Creek Church, which is right up the road. And it will be at 5 p.m. So we would invite all of you to come and attend. Oh, we have one more announcement. First Lady Jordan King.
David, we need you to come back up here on the front row.
So last week, David told a very embarrassing story about me, and now I have the microphone. Yeah. That's a little scary, isn't it? No, so a lot of you guys know that David just graduated. He's so mad right now. David just officially graduated from Grimke Seminary. His last assignment was turned in on Friday, so he is feeling lots of relief right now from school. So you don't know this. We have a surprise for you that lots of people have been lying to you about for the last several weeks, and we have pulled it off. So first what we have is a quick video for you of some people that could not be here this morning that wanted to encourage you. And we are praying right now that this video works correctly with all the sound, if everyone just wants to ask Jesus. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Josh Susan, for making that video for David and loving him in that way. Super, super sweet. So I have a few words for you now, if that's okay. So Grimke seeks not only to benefit the individual receiving the degree, but also the representation of the church that they're standing in front of every single week. Sent church, this degree that David received would not have happened without you. Without your support, finances, and prayers would never have happened. So we are grateful. I am grateful that he was able to get the degree that he got in the church that he was receiving love from as he was getting it. Thank you so much. Seminary has been a desire for David since we started church planting a long time ago. It is not a new thing. But in this desire, David would never put our family second to seminary, and he would never put ministry second to seminary. So that was a hard thing to figure out when seminary takes so much time and effort. But Grimke was different. It was a place where he could do all of the things together at the same time. He could benefit, Grimke could benefit and be a blessing to our church family and also to our individual family. We knew that Grimke was going to be different for our family, but we didn't realize just how much. Since many of us don't actually know what it takes to get a master's of theology, I'm going to give us a little bit of a window. And I've accumulated this these numbers based off of the best conversations I could while not giving away why I needed them. So if I get them wrong, you have to tell me. But on the school front, David read almost 100 books in 2 years for all of his classes. 82 of them I found purchased on Amazon, but I know how big our bookshelves are, so I'm sure there was plenty additionals to that that we already owned. He completed almost over 40 papers and assignments written and turned in for grading. He attended all 8 in-person gatherings for intensives in Virginia, where he drove, stayed on his brother's couch to save money, was in class from 7 to 7, Monday through Thursday, and most of us still received responses to emails and texts during that time. So far, he has received all A's for all of his grading that we have gotten back so far. On the church front, he spent a minimum of 600 plus hours in prayer, prepared and preached 90-ish sermons in the last 2 years, and has had an unwavering commitment to the gospel of Jesus Christ going forward, week in and week out, as he has cared for us by counseling, planning, assessing, pursuing, and praying. He has also, in the last 2 years that I've known, not turned down an opportunity for one person that needed help in our community or another church or planting pastor that needed his time. A book showed up about 2 weeks on our doorstep that made me laugh, and it was by Tony Marita, and it's called The 11 Competencies Needed for a Church Planter. And I looked at David and I said, they wrote a book about you. You have these. This is wonderful. How did he know this? And as I was joking, I was also being completely serious. And then I skimmed through what those competencies were, and he implements every single one of them. But then in our home, David, you and I both know how much convincing it took for you to convince me that we needed to do seminary in the last 2 years. But I can honestly say, as hard as the hardest moments were, Grimke was a blessing to our home. I know the struggle that you felt leaving every time for an intensive, or hearing the loudness and the chaos of our kids when you needed to do homework, and every step of the way you were faithful at home. Many men can get a master's degree of theology, and many men can plant churches, many men can become daddies, many men can be husbands, but doing it all while staying faithful to Jesus was truly a marvel in the last 2 years of God's work in your life. While you were reading all of those books and writing all of those papers, you also coached our kids' basketball teams, baseball teams, and softball teams. You never missed one time of drop-off or pick-up from school. We had a baby in that window as well. You were home every night for dinner when I needed you. You took out the trash. You gave me breaks when I needed them. You took the occasional nap or break to jump on the trampoline with the kids, or always were ready for a wrestling match. And you put the kids to bed every single night that you were home and always would help me with the dishes. These tasks may not get you a degree, but if you were to have forsaken them in order to obtain your degree, God would not have been honored. To say that I'm proud of you isn't enough. God has been honored by your pursuit of holiness and your calling, and I'm proud to stand by you in any and every room. He has upheld you and given you strength. Even though today is a celebration of your accomplishment, we all know that you're dying sitting over there to say, to God be the glory. Congratulations on your graduation. We don't all know what all the effort is that it took for you to do this, but God absolutely does. I hope and pray that you're encouraged now, that he sees you and that he loves you more than you'll ever know. Thank you for your faithfulness to God, to me as your wife, to our kids, and to our church. I told you that if you got all A's in seminary that we would throw you a party. And so, welcome to your party. We're throwing you. So I just want to acknowledge one more thing before we get started. Emily Rogers has done 90% of the work to make today happen and was not able to be here. So if all of you will please send her a note of encouragement and thanking her for all the effort that she put in order for us to be able to have a party. Quick instructions. We are going to tear down really quickly. We have a tear down team that is ready. But if you want to help stack chairs, they go 9 high. If you want to stack some chairs. And then we're going to move over to the reception area. The coffee and the snacks are going to be served by one person. So don't go grabbing, because we're going to try and be careful that we're not spreading too many germs. So they'll be served to you. And then we'll have reception. We have a food photo booth up. And then for fun, when all of this is down, we're also going to have a fun game of knockout, because David has got to have something to compete with at a party. So we're going to have a basketball game. So congratulations. We love you. Welcome to your party. Good job getting all A's.